Experience the joy of running in the new Triumph 22 from Saucony, the original running brand. Stacked with luxury foam cushioning, Triumph 22 turns miles into smiles with the ultimate blend of comfort and energy return. Shop Triumph 22 at Saucony.com. That's S-A-U-C-O-N-Y.com.
Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart,
ejercicios, cocinamos,
todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalles.
Hello and welcome back to Highway to Hoover, a production of SEC Extra over at d1baseball.com. I'm your host, Joe Healy, joined today by my good friend Robbie Falk, who covers Mississippi State baseball for Maroon and White Daily, part of the On3 network. That's a change for Robbie, actually, since last time we talked to him. New little gig for our buddy here. We will jump in with him in a moment to talk about some of the positives of the Mississippi State baseball season, maybe some reasons for optimism. We'll also talk a little bit about some of the negatives, right? I mean, it hasn't been the rosiest first 3 weeks of the season for State, but so, you know, we'll talk about both ends of the spectrum with him. But first, I have to let you know that this episode of Highway to Hoover and every episode of Highway to Hoover is brought to you by PitchLogic, the system used by players, coaches, scouts, and instructors at all levels of play, from youth leagues to the big leagues. The easy-to-use and affordable technology makes the platform accessible to every player at every level. All the metrics and features used at the highest level. See pitchlogic.com for more information. First off, Robbie, I mentioned it up top, but congratulations on the new gig. That's always exciting stuff, and I appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. Good to talk to you again. It's been a while. I didn't see you much last year. There wasn't a whole lot for you to come cover last year, though, I don't think. I saw Mark a couple of weeks ago, so hopefully we can get you down here pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's not for a lack of interest in coming to Starkville. Believe you me, fun atmosphere. I'm a sucker for kind of those smaller college towns too. So I'm hoping there's a little more to cover down there that way this season, so that I can make an excuse to get down there. That'd be a lot of fun for me. Let's actually start with something really recent. Last night, State beats Southern Miss in Pearl, 5-4. And I think it was notable, and you wrote about this, so if you're interested, go check out what Robbie wrote about how the bullpen really led the way. I mean, Southern scores 4 runs in the first, and State somehow comes back and finds a way to win that game, which I imagine, down 4-0 in the first, most of the fan base thought, well, here we go again. But it went a different way. Is that the best piece of evidence we've had so far, that new pitching coach Justin Parker, combined with maybe some new faces, has at least created some positive momentum on the mound?
I think we've seen a little bit of it early, but a lot of it is, you know, the wonder of, is this just the competition they're playing? I think there's something to be said about the fact that they're not walking hardly anyone at this point. And last year, that wasn't the case. In this very game last year, I think they walked 11 guys. They won that ball game 10-9, but they walked 11 guys. They walked one guy last night. And that came in the first inning. The entire bullpen did not walk a batter, I don't believe. Or maybe they walked one. I can't remember. But it wasn't many. And that, to me, has been the biggest sign of improvement for this team, is they are attacking the strike zone and they are making hitters beat them. And that was something that really just infuriated people last year, is that you just didn't give yourself a chance. And the defense behind them wasn't great last season, but you would at least want to see the defense get an opportunity to make those plays. This pitching staff is giving the defense opportunities to make plays, and they're making them. And they've upgraded at shortstop. They've upgraded at third base with Dylan Cup, the freshman, and Logan Kohler from Memphis. Both of those guys have really helped. It allows you – I mean, you know this. When you know you have good defense behind you, you attack hitters differently. You feel like you can – attack the strike zone, and you can challenge hitters a little bit more when you feel like you have guys behind you that can make those plays. And it's just been a welcome sign from this team to see this. I haven't looked at the numbers today, but I think they've only walked 36 or 37 guys in the first 13 games or whatever it was. Last year, they had walked, I think, over 80. So that is a tremendous, tremendous improvement that we're seeing from Justin Parker. And when they get an SEC play, you know this, it's those numbers are going to go up. We know that's going to happen. But I think that it's already notable that this team has made a major jump on the mound. And we've seen it in with the evidence of these pitchers, the individual pitchers that they're putting out on the mound. Tyler Davis and Tyson Harden, both of those guys last year really struggled at times. Last night they came in big moments and did a really good job in a couple of innings each of getting through the lineup, getting out of innings, and making sure that they kept the score where it was. I think Justin Parker's doing a tremendous job at this point with a pitching staff that was just dismal the last two seasons.
Yeah, part of that too has been the weekend rotation. Outside of Cal Stevens' start against Georgia Southern, where they got to him a little bit, I mean, it's been basically 9 weekend starts, and 8 of them have been really good between Dome and Steven and Sanja. What have you seen from that trio, and how much confidence do you have that what we're seeing is not just a competition-based mirage?
Cal Stevens struck out 11 in his first start at Mississippi State. I don't think he walked anybody. He gave up a run, I think, on a home run. He was excellent. And that next week against Georgia Southern, he just couldn't put away hitters. But it wasn't a situation where he was putting guys on base. He wasn't commanding the strike zone. He was kind of falling apart. They just hit him. I mean, he was in 0-2, 1-2 counts, and was just not throwing a put-away pitch. I think he really returned to form a little bit last week. And, again, these aren't great teams that he's playing, but he's a guy that's going to get ahead of counts. He's going to challenge hitters. Same thing with Nate Dome. But those guys compete. And that's what people want to see more than anything, is they want to see these guys go out there and compete. And that's what they're doing. And Gerangelo has been excellent in his 3 starts. Probably his best start of his career came last week. And that's been huge for Mississippi State to have 3 weekend starters that have come out, and outside of that one game from Steven, have lasted, you know, fairly deep in ball games, have not walked batters, have not put guys on base, are not making huge mistakes. That's been a really nice sign for Mississippi State. They're going to have to continue to have those really good starts. I think this pitching staff is fairly deep from an arm perspective. So, you know, you can have a tough day on the mound as far as a starter is concerned and still kind of survive the weekend when that wasn't really the case last year. But it's really nice to know that you have 3 starters right now that are playing really well, and they need that to continue going into the SEC schedule coming up starting next week.
Is there actually more reason for concern about the lineup at this point? I mean, Dakota Jordan has picked up where he left off last year. You feel great about him, but a little bit of a slow start for Hunter Hines. And the guys who are contributing are the guys that contributed last year. It just feels like maybe there hasn't been a group of guys step up to kind of fill in the holes from the guys who departed after last year. What do you make of the lineup, and should we be a little more concerned about that versus where the pitching's at right now?
Yeah, I am. I haven't seen a whole lot from this lineup to really give you a lot of confidence going into SEC play with the arms they're going to face. Now, we've seen this before from Jake Gautreaux's crew. We've seen them get off to slow starts, really struggle against pitchers with sink and soft tossing left-handers, guys like that. They've kind of struggled with those guys in the past. And there's been a lot of seasons where when you get some power arms coming in the SEC play, guys from the right side throwing mid-90s to high-90s fastballs, and they start challenging State's hitters with fastballs. State does a really good job, and they start to kind of come alive. That's kind of the hope. But, the bottom of the lineup has not been very good. Hunter Hines, like you said, has struggled a little bit, hasn't been able to really find his power at this point. But I'm not really concerned about him so much as just the offense as a whole. I think Dakota Jordan, like you said, is starting to come around. He's got 5 home runs, hit an absolute tank last night. To go opposite field the way that he did in that ballpark at Trustmark Park to right field and hit that one out of the park was really impressive. And he's hit several mammoth home runs this year, just some tremendous raw power. And I think as the year goes on, you're going to see him get better and better. He did that last year too. Really slow start, actually was out of the starting lineup, came in and was probably State's second best hitter in SEC play. He was outstanding. So Dakota's, I think, is going to be fine. David Mershon has been a real shot in the arm for Mississippi State to get him back in the lineup after missing the first few ball games. A guy that is just, he's just not going to be denied out there. He's batting nearly 500 at this point. He can bunt for singles. He can get you a double. I mean, he's just, he's a gamer. So I think he's good. I think Imani Larry's really good at the top of the order. You have three guys that you're really excited about in that lineup, and Larry, Mershon, and Dakota Jordan, but you've got to have more protection for those guys in the middle, and the bottom of the order is going to have to get going as well. So it is a concern right now, but I think there are some good hitters in this lineup, and Jake Gautreaux has figured it out on a lot of teams over the years. So I think they will get going eventually, but you just hope it's not too late when they do start to really kind of get the ball rolling a little bit.
We mentioned Hines, and his overall numbers aren't terrible, right? I mean, he's hit for some average, but it's the power stroke that's been missing so far. I'm sure it's something you guys on the local beat have talked about with the team in media availabilities and whatnot. Is there something that has been pointed to there? Is it pressing? Is it something different? Is it something mechanical? What kind of information have you gotten on where he's at with his swing?
You know, we haven't really been able to talk to him yet or talk much about him. And like you said, I mean, the numbers aren't terrible right now as far as his batting average or anything, but he just hasn't been able to hit the ball over the fence yet. And a lot of his stuff is, you know, we're seeing a lot of ground balls from him right now. And maybe that's him trying to evolve his game a little bit. I'm not sure. But I'm not worried about the power that he has. If anything, it's kind of refreshing to see him put the ball on the ground a little bit and maybe go more ground ball or line drive. But he's just not been able to find any holes at this point. I think that he's going to get it together at some point. It's going to come together for him, and he's going to start getting into that groove. And when he does, there's not many players in this league that have the raw power that he does from the left side. And that's going to be something that Mississippi State has to have. And whether it's moving him down the lineup a little bit to try to get him out of a little bit of a funk and keep him from pressing or what, I don't know. But, you know, I think that he's going to hit at some point. I will say I've been impressed with him so far, what he's done at first base. He's really evolving there at first base. He's become a better defender. Scooped a play out of the dirt on the final play of the game against Southern Miss. It was an excellent play from both he and Dylan Cup. He's becoming a better first baseman, and he's trying to become a better hitter too. So maybe that has something to do with it. He's trying not to think – he's trying to think differently at the plate than just sending it over the right field fence. But I think we are seeing him kind of fight it a little bit right now. I'm interested to see how he does when he starts to see more SEC pitching, because that's been where he has really been able to thrive the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's a good call. I mean, and sometimes those type of adjustments when you're trying to approach things differently at the plate take more time than they would like and we would like, right? So it seems like a bad bet to make that this is going to be something that continues. It certainly seems like that's a guy I'm willing to bet on figuring it out as the season goes on, even against better pitching.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break from our discussion to hear a couple ads from our sponsors.
There are over 75 million monthly Tubi viewers. That's more people than there are golden retrievers. Which means Tubi is more popular than using meat-flavored toothpaste. More popular than never figuring out what W-A-L-K spells. More popular than kicking your leg when a human rubs your belly just right. Tubi, it's more popular than golden retrievers. See you in there.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Experience the joy of running in the new Triumph 22 from Saucony, the original running brand. Stacked with luxury foam cushioning, Triumph 22 turns miles into smiles with the ultimate blend of comfort and energy return. Shop Triumph 22 at Saucony.com. That's S-A-U-C-O-N-Y.com.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium malt beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Wanted to ask you about the catching situation. Obviously, Heifel's injury has kind of put them behind the eight ball a little bit, but you've seen Johnny Long some. You've mostly seen Joe Powell. Tell me just about the catching situation in general and what you foresee that being as the season goes on.
Yeah, right now it's just kind of, the feel thing, I think, for him. We've seen some really good receiving from both Johnny Long and Joe Powell. And the Joe Powell story to me is so interesting. This is a guy that was basically giving up baseball. He was going to be, a paramedic or a firefighter. He was out of baseball last year, and there was a connection with Justin Parker there, and they were Mississippi State was looking for another catcher because Ross Highfield is injured right now. He's not able to catch. I think it's a little shoulder problem, and it's really kind of disrupted what he's wanted to do at the plate too. So they needed another veteran catcher back there, and they found Joe Powell. He decided to give it another run, and it's really paying off for him. And I think it's just a really cool story to see him get this opportunity. But he and Johnny Long have been a godsend for Mississippi State to get these veteran receivers back there. The Bulldogs really struggled trying to find a replacement for Logan Tanner the last 2 years. They just have not been able to find that guy. And, Ross Highfield was forced into being a catcher as a true freshman, which is very difficult to do in this league. You're seeing pitches and velocity that you haven't seen consistently every single pitch at this point. And that's a difficult thing to transition to. Ross Highfield is going to be a really good catcher, but doing that as a true freshman, he was going to take his lumps. So the last 2 years have been a little bit of a struggle for Mississippi State to find a guy like a Logan Tanner. And I'm not saying either one of these guys are Logan Tanner, but they've been really good back there. They're, Johnny Long's is great at framing pitches. He's great at defending the plate. And Joe Powell the same way. And both those guys have been pretty good at eliminating base runners too. So that's just been huge for Mississippi State. And I think you can give them a lot of credit for the pitching staff taking this jump too. Being able to have that veteran presence behind the plate really makes a difference for pitchers. And they have great relationships with both of these guys. I think that they did an excellent job on Tuesday night in that game. Both of them caught. Johnny Long came in the last couple innings, had a really good past couple innings to end that thing. And I think both of them are going to be huge for Mississippi State and SEC play, especially if they are hitting the way that they can hit as well.
Yeah, you mentioned the impact that has on the pitching staff. Totally agree. And even something as small as, last year, pass balls were a real problem. And to not have that be as much of a concern gives a pitcher a lot of confidence that, hey, I can throw my nastiest stuff here and the ball's probably not going to get to the backstop. So that those little things kind of add up, I think, over time to make the pitching staff just more confident in general. Let's look at the schedule a little bit because, the start to SEC play is there's no such thing as an easy path in SEC play, let's be honest. However, this one's particularly tough. So after a series this weekend with Evansville, which is not nothing, that's a pretty good Valley team that State's going to have to play well to win games there. But looking ahead to the SEC schedule, they start off with LSU at home. Then they get A&M and Florida on the road back to back the first three weekends. At the risk of being results oriented instead of process oriented, is 3-6 acceptable? Is even 2-7 acceptable? I mean, that's just such a murderer's row. I mean, that's basically three at this point, three top five teams in terms of the way they're playing right now. What would be an acceptable record through that gauntlet? Do you feel like that would keep people from pulling their hair out because they think, oh gosh, this is third season in a row of nine wins or whatever?
Yeah, I think three wins would be great. when you look at that, I mean, it's going to be tough. Your state's not hitting the ball very well. You're going to be facing some really good pitchers during that stretch. Maybe not every game, but most every game. All three of those teams can really pitch it. And they're hitting the ball well, too. It's not going to be easy. But if you can find a way to steal a game in every series, I think that's a win for Mississippi State. The rest of the schedule is tough, but it's not as tough as what you're about to see for three straight weeks. You know, you do have some manageable series in there, but it's going to be so tough for this team to make postseason. And that's kind of the conundrum for Mississippi State and Chris Lemonis is you can be improved this year, but it might not show it on the record. And that's the issue that they're faced with at this point is they just don't have the to me, I don't know if they have the guns to win 14, 15 games in SEC play against what they're going up against. And, you know, and that falls on Chris Lemonis. They weren't able to go out there and get a Braden Montgomery or a Luke Holman, who they're about to see two straight weeks. And that's kind of what's hurting them right now. They're missing that stud outfielder in Braden Montgomery. They could use Luke Holman for sure. I think their starting rotation is good, but you know Luke Holman in this rotation would really set it off. And that's those kind of pieces are the difference between you know a losing record in SEC play and possibly you know a two seed or fighting for postseason hosting rights. And that's kind of what you're looking at. But I've seen some Mississippi State teams that have been counted out go to Omaha, and I'm not going to count this team out until it's you know apparent that they're to be counted out. But it's going to be tough. This is going to be a really difficult road, and these first three weekends are really going to be difficult. But you have to literally take it game by game. Try to steal a win here, a win there, and see what happens. I think 3-6 would be marvelous for them, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's such a good point. I mean, and the margins in the SEC are so narrow, right? I mean, 13 wins put you on the bubble. 15 means you're hosting if you win a game or two in Hoover. And then 9 means you're in last place again. So, like, the difference of 6 wins is the difference between, like, we're playing baseball at home in June and, let's face it, we're having a big picture discussion about Chris Lemonis and his staff in June. I mean, those are the difference of 6 wins there, which is just – it's life in the SEC. I don't have to tell you or anybody else that. So given
and what's frustrating is if State had this pitching, the pitching they're having this year, last year, they could be hosting last year. They won 9 SEC games. And I think if they just eliminated the walks like they have so far this year, they did that last year, I think that this team is fighting for a host spot. That's how big that margin is, but also small. Like they had a 7-run earned run average. If they would have cut that down to 5, who knows?
Yeah,
that's going to be the difference in 5 or 6 wins. That's what's crazy about the whole thing. That's what the pitching staff has done to Mississippi State the last 2 years, and they've seemingly fixed it, or at least greatly improved on it. But now you got one of the toughest schedules I've ever seen for Mississippi State baseball. And, you know, we'll see what they're able to do with that.
Yeah. It's such an interesting deal there. And that brings me to my last question for you, which is what constitutes success for this team this year, which I know is a complicated question because I think there's probably a different answer for the fans, a different answer for the coaching staff, a different answer for the administration. If you ask those three individual groups and, you know, you mentioned seeing Mark a little while back in the season. And he wrote after that game that he covered that it like inside Duty Noble, it felt like a group of people who were dealing with PTSD together, that it felt anxious. And like when good things would happen, they'd get excited. But the rest of the time, it was just kind of like on edge. So obviously, and we know why that is, like, you know, the last 2 years haven't gone great. So in light of all of that, how would you define success this year for the team?
I think making postseason play is successful because what I've tried to tell people is you're not, I don't think you're going to be able to jump from back-to-back 9-win SEC seasons to super regionals, College World Series capable teams. It's just not that easy. What's happened to Mississippi State is something that's going to take a little bit to get going again. So if you're showing a slight, not even slight improvement, but relative improvement here this season, and you're getting into postseason play, I think if you're showing signs of life and you're showing that move back up, then I think Chris Lemonis is safe, and I think it's a successful season. The expectations here are very high, and there are a lot of people here that won't accept just simply making postseason play, but I think Zach Selman will. I think showing this improvement, showing that you're moving in the right direction, this is a guy that won a national championship 2 years ago, 3 years ago at this point, and he's shown that he can win big at Mississippi State. He's afforded a little more time if he's able to show that he's fixing the situation. But getting there is what's going to be difficult.
Yeah, I think that's well put. I mean, it's you have to show the progress, and sometimes what constitutes progress for the people in charge is different than what some of the fans would think, and that's what makes it complicated. Because ultimately, State is one of those jobs, as you mentioned, with the expectations being what where the coach is as much hired and fired as he is elected, right? Because there's so much interest, you know, from all these stakeholders, and so it's a job that I don't envy. If this goes sideways, and not obviously sideways, right? If the team's about 500 in SEC play, but they're on the wrong side of the bubble, like, I don't envy Zach Selman being in the room having to like really assess like how do you value that progress. So, but obviously we will wait until the end of the season to discuss that in a little more depth and see how things actually play out. As we discussed today with Robbie, some reasons for optimism. And I'm fascinated to kind of see how they're able to build on this. I think this weekend series against Evansville will be a good stepping stone into SEC play, because like I said, Evansville is an old team. Evansville is pretty talented. You know, I did their fall report, so I know pretty well that they're like, they're a team that could come in and ruin your day if you don't play well. So that'll be interesting to see if they handle business this weekend against the Aces. You have to continue to feel good about the trajectory at least. So there is that. Robbie, before we get you out of here, go ahead and plug your stuff. Tell folks where they can find you and read your stuff.
Yeah, you can check me out at Maroon and White Daily. It's on the On3 network, really growing over there. That's a relatively new network started by Shannon Terry that started 247 Sports, and he's done an excellent job. I'm happy to be back with him. So if you're a State fan or just interested in Mississippi State sports, come check us out. On Twitter, I'm Robbie Falk on 3. And also we have a daily podcast during the week called Thunder and Lightning, myself and Brian Haydad. You can find that podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We discuss Mississippi State, other sports, music, wrestling, whatever you guys want to talk about. We have an entire day devoted to talking about whatever. It's called The Rumblings. You can send in questions. Joe, you can get involved at some point if you want to. We do that on Tuesdays. So if you guys want to check that out, send us your questions, and we'll talk about whatever you want to.
Yeah, send Robbie and Hey Dad your unhinged questions for them to throw about on the podcast. They do a fabulous job. Thunder and Lightning podcast is a fun listen. I'm a listener as well. You know, Robbie's one of the – I'm going to embarrass him while he's still sitting here looking at me, but one of the best folks out there in the SEC covering his team in college baseball. So he's a fabulous read. Obviously, if you're a State fan, you already know that. But even if you're a fan in enemy territory, like if you want to read up on Mississippi State and a fascinating soap opera that will happen over the course of the entire season, Robbie's your guy for that. I would highly recommend it. Robbie, thank you for joining us today. That is going to do it for this edition of Highway to Hoover, a production of SEC Extra over at d1baseball.com. Thank you to PitchLogic, sponsoring this and every episode of Highway to Hoover. Thank you to Robbie again for joining me, and thank you, the listener, for listening.
The Highway to Hoover podcast is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.
Experience the joy of running in the new Triumph 22 from Saucony, the original running brand. Stacked with luxury foam cushioning, Triumph 22 turns miles into smiles with the ultimate blend of comfort and energy return. Shop Triumph 22 at Saucony.com. That's SAUCONY.com.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.